Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, July 11th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Toby Jokel. He's pastor at First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Good morning, Pastor Jokel. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Andy. Good morning to you from sunny Las Vegas.
Wonderful, wonderful. Say, tell us about First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas.
Well, First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is the downtown mother church of the LCMS in Las Vegas, and we are right downtown, which presents lots of challenges being a downtown church, but we've been around since the 40s, and we've had a major part in helping the church here in Las Vegas by planting churches over the years. Many of the Lutheran churches that are in Las Vegas were planted by us over the years, and it's a great church. We have a school of about 160 kids. We have a preschool of about 40 kids, and we have challenges. We have the challenges of a downtown church, but we are beginning to reach out to the downtown community and the homeless, and coming up with ideas on how we can be a light in the downtown Las Vegas area.
Outstanding. Well, I'm glad that you're there doing God's good work, delivering His good gifts in the Word. And are you ready to study God's Word this morning?
Oh, I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about the Jerusalem Council.
Well, at least somebody's excited about a council meeting.
That's right. I get excited about council meetings, too, but this Jerusalem Council is really an outstanding one.
We're in Acts chapter 15 this morning, verses 6 through 21. Pastor, any background you'd like to give us on the text before we dig real deep?
Well, you know, the church is still in its infancy stage. It's around 48 A.D., and in Antioch, which is the headquarters, so to speak, of the or will be the Gentile church, there were questions concerning circumcision and how a Gentile becomes a Christian, or really becomes a Jew, because there was a group of people that were insisting that one has to be circumcised in order to become part of the covenant of a Jewish Christian. And so the real question was, at this point in time in the church history, was how do we deal with Gentiles in our church that really began with the Jews? The history of the church, of course, begins with the Jews. Jesus ministered to the Jews, and the Jews had customs and traditions and followed the law, and with these new pagan people becoming Christians is, what do we do with them? How do we incorporate them into the church? And so there was debate between Paul and the group called the Judaizers, which is really a pharisaical group of Jewish Christians, so to speak, that had questions concerning and debated Paul as far as how does one become a believer. How does one enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is it through the law, circumcision? Do we keep the Mosaic law, and so forth? And so the church sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem and with the elders and decided and the apostles in Jerusalem to debate this question as to what do we do with the Gentiles.
Well, very good. We're going to dig into Acts chapter 15, verses 6 through 21 today. If you have questions, you can give us a call. The phone number's 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Going to give our listeners another option this morning. Instead of email, if you want to tweet, you can tweet your comments or question. KFUO Andy is my Twitter handle. So if you want to do that, you can do that on Twitter as well. So the phone number 800-730-2727, or you can tweet me, KFUO Andy. I'd be glad to take some questions as we're digging into Acts chapter 15 this morning with Pastor Jokel from First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. All right, here we go. Verse 6. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." All right. So the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter.
Yes, and it was a giant voters' meeting, so to speak, because this was probably one of the first major issues. The church was becoming more sophisticated, and Peter is the first, really, to reach out to the Gentiles. As he was in Joppa, he had that vision of unholy meats, and he was called to minister to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and Peter, with his own eyes, saw a Pentecost among the Gentiles, just as the apostles had seen the Holy Spirit and the people gathered in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost. Now we had a second Pentecost among the Gentiles that Peter himself was a witness to, and he shares that with the elders and the congregation of the church in Jerusalem as they debate this issue of how do Gentiles enter into the kingdom of heaven? Do they have to follow the customs of Moses, the law, or is it by grace through faith? And Peter, having seen what he saw, you know, knows in his heart God had shown him that believers are saved through faith and by grace.
And after, verse 7, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith."
So, what a great passage, isn't it? Wow.
So Peter stands up after there had been much debate. Now, much debate. How, we talking minutes, hours, days?
Oh boy, I would say it wasn't just an overnight kind of deal. It was probably some pretty sharp debates. But I just love the way the church handles this conflict. It's quite not quite like one of our conventions that we enjoy so much. James, you'll read about him in a minute. He was the bishop of Jerusalem, and they had a debate, and then it was James who kind of settled the question, and then everybody agreed with him, you know, and there was agreement. And it's so nice to see a council meeting where everybody leaves excited and about as far as knowing that the decision had been made. So it was quite the meeting that probably lasted for more than several hours.
So it was a long meeting. That's a long voters meeting.
It's a long voters meeting, but we all know how much we enjoy voters meetings.
"Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe."
Yeah, that's... That says it right there. It's apart from the law, you know, that faith, a gift of the Holy Spirit, just as the believers at Pentecost received, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that it's the Holy Spirit that cleanses us. And the exciting thing is that, and what the church is dealing with here, is that it's open to everybody. That's not just Jews. It's not just a Jewish church of believers in the Messiah, but it's the whole world. The Holy Spirit works in the hearts of all people as the word is preached and the gospel is shared.
"And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith."
It's a real exciting thing, and I've had the opportunity to be on the mission field, and you know, that's all it takes is the Holy Spirit and the Word. You know, you just share the gospel, and you see the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of people. I was in areas in Africa that people had never heard of the gospel before, and you know, it's just so strange to have to preach to a people as if that they've never heard anything about the gospel. You have to start from the beginning, you know, but that's all you need is the Word, because wherever the Word, the gospel is preached, there the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of people. And that's what's gotten me through my 34 years of ministry, is knowing that it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the preaching of the gospel and the Word and the sacraments that do the work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to worry as pastors about whether or not people receive the gospel, because that's in the hands of God.
Amen. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?
You know, people get confused sometimes, I think, about the Old Testament believers, that they were too saved by faith. And that there never has been a way that people can be saved through the law, even in the Old Testament. All the great patriarchs, all the great kings of Israel failed in fulfilling the law or following the law. It could be a yoke around their neck until they understood the looking forward to the cross, to the promises of God, where one can be saved. And to put a yoke of law over someone, saying to someone that, boy, in order to be a Christian, you have to do this and you have to do that, and if you're not doing this or doing that, they question your faith. I have had a little bit of experience in this area, you know, myself, as I was exploring religion many, many years ago, and I was told by so many Christians then that, you know, here's what you have to do, here's what you have to do. And what really got me into Lutheranism, so to speak, confessional Lutheranism, was the fact that I don't have to do anything, that it's the grace of God, it's by faith, and that I trust Jesus as my Savior. And of course, works follow faith. But it's not a barometer of whether or not I'm a Christian. And this is basically the issue of the early church at the time of the Jerusalem Council, is how are our hearts cleansed? How do we receive forgiveness? Do we receive forgiveness by following the law and the customs of Moses? And by this time, you know, we're not just talking about the Ten Commandments law. We're talking about lots of other customs that had been added to the law. And so there was this yoke. You can just feel this yoke around your neck and how heavy that was. Man, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and, you know, and I have to be circumcised or whatever, and following the law, and it's just so heavy, and I don't know if I even want to be a Christian if I have to live this way or do this or act this way or not drink this or eat this, and it was a heavy, heavy yoke, and the good news that Paul had for the Gentiles, and the question that was debated in the Jerusalem Council was, hey, God has cleansed you. God has given you a heart of faith. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. He has bore witness and the Holy Spirit has given you faith. And there is no distinction as to who you are and so forth, your background, where have you come from, whatever sins you've committed, you're saved by faith through grace.
That verse 11, but we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference what your background is, how big of a sinner you are, you know. And that's why, you know, the church was growing here. And the whole idea of reaching out to the Gentiles, you know, I can kind of understand how these Pharisees who had become Christians, so to speak, had a hard time just leaving all this behind. You know, they had years and years of tradition and Mosaic law and festivals and customs. And, you know, what do we do with all this? You know, how do we handle this? These are pagans we're talking about, you know, and how do we know that they're not going to become Christians and then live any way that they want to live? You know, how are we going to know that they're Christians? And so this was a real issue in the early church, and you can't blame these law-oriented people that had so many years of custom, but we have to go back and acknowledge that. How was Abraham saved? How were the patriarchs saved? They were saved by faith, by looking forward to the cross, and not by the law. No one was ever saved by the law. But that does not mean, as Paul says, that the law is evil or bad. It's good. You know, the law is divine, and the law has its purpose in our lives. But it cannot save. It cannot help us as far as salvation goes.
That's where the gospel comes in.
That's where the gospel comes in, because that's the good news. And boy, when you go out into the mission field and you see God's Spirit working in those people and they hear that gospel, you know, in parts of Africa that I was in, that the average lifespan was 40 years old, and most of the people you see are women and children. And there's no hope in their eyes until you see that hope grow in the gospel, that there is a better life to come, because there's so much suffering, and the churches there are just unbelievably growing. I was in one church, and it sat in no windows. It was just a big brick building, and it probably sat 400 people, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm wondering, gee, who's going to come to this church? Soon there's people walking from all over, from miles and miles away to church, and the place was filled, and there were people at the windows who were listening, wanting to listen to the gospel. And you could just see their eyes change as the gospel was preached and hope became part of their new life with God. And man, it was powerful to see, and baptisms were taking place all over the place with the Lutheran Church in Tanzania.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary today with the Reverend Toby Jokel from First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're in Acts chapter 15. If you have questions, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can tweet your comments, KFUO Andy. I'd be glad to take your questions on Twitter, or you can give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the Daily Lectionary, Acts chapter 15, with Pastor Jokel. Stick around for more of his time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in Acts chapter 15 today, verses 6 through 21. We're studying with Pastor Jokel from First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Pastor, any other comments about verses 6 through 11 before we go on to the next section?
Well, I just want to emphasize the role of the gospel in the life of a Christian, and that's where it begins. You know, Peter acknowledges that. You know, he had had some struggles, even himself, in accepting this gospel apart from law. You know, Paul and him had gotten into a debate,
on this issue, and you know, when he was ministering to the Gentiles, you know, James, the Bishop of Jerusalem, had sent some teachers, some leaders of the church to where Peter was, and all of a sudden Peter kind of changes his tune, is no longer eating with Gentiles, but eating among the Jews, and Peter really had to come down on him. But the emphasis, I think, in the beginning of the Jerusalem Council was how they could debate and listen to one another and come up with solutions as to how one is made justified by Christ through by grace through faith. And that's the emphasis there.
So I'm not justified by what I eat?
That's right. It's not a matter of diet. It's not a matter of circumcision. It's not a matter of what you do. It's just it's a matter of trust, trusting in Jesus as your Savior. And what a great sacrament baptism is when you understand that it is God working through the Word and the water to bring the gospel into one's heart. And how that gospel then does need to be fed. But it's the interest into the kingdom is by faith. Yeah, that's the bottom line.
And
praise to God.
And that faith, that trust is, as you said, it comes to us by God's means. It's not even something that we do. Sometimes we want to turn it into a work and make it, well, I trust the Lord.
Yeah.
But it comes to us by His means, and it's a gift.
Yeah, and you know the reason why we're that way is because we're works righteous by nature. We're mm-hmm. born work. I mean, when you think about it, everything you do in life, you have to work for. You know, if you want to get good grades in school, what do you have to do? Well, you got to work hard. You got to study. If you want to get a good job, if you want to get into college, my wife is a physician. She had to work hard in order to be a physician. And so we take this to theology or to our relationship with God, and we want the same thing. Well, what do I now? How do I work that out? How do I work out getting into heaven? What do I need to do? And the good news is that you need do nothing. God's done it for you in Christ.
Amen. We're in Acts chapter 15. Let's pick up at verse 12. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." All right, back to verse 12. "And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles." So everybody got quiet.
Yeah, that's one of the times where I wish that I could be, you know, you always wonder what it was like, mm-hmm. you know, in certain instances. And this is one of those times where, wow, you know, I mean, who could deny the work of God? I mean, Paul and Barnabas had seen it with their own eyes. Peter had seen it with their own eyes, how Gentiles were becoming believers, and the church was exploding among the Gentiles. You know, and it was just wonderful to see, and the people hearing how God is, you know, that when he ascended into heaven, he just didn't stop. You know, the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit was given, and now the church is seeing that. And how can the... It's kind of like Isaiah entering into the temple, you know. I mean, they're seeing the vision of the seraphim. You know, you fall silent when you see God working. And I'm sure that it was quite a mood there when they heard about all that God had done through Peter and through Paul and Barnabas, and how the church was growing and miracles were taking place, the miracle of faith among the Gentiles.
And after they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. So here James replies, listen, Simeon has related how, when he's saying Simeon, is this Simon?
It's Simon Peter. It's the Greek way, or the Hebrew. The Hebrew way of calling, you know, James, you know, he is the bishop. He's the half-brother of Jesus. He's the bishop of Jerusalem, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and a Hebrew of Hebrews, and he uses the Hebrew term Simeon instead of Peter.
Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. What is this, to take from the Gentiles a people for his name?
Well, there was a promise that God made, you know, that, you know, in the beginning Israel was set aside as God's people to do what? To be unto themselves, to just kind of enjoy God and not worry about the people around them. The Israel originally, God formed his own people so that Israel would be a light bringing glory to God. That's why God gathered his special people, and from that people was the promise of a Messiah. And this Messiah would not just be for the Jews, but it would be for the world, the whole world. And of course, John says it clearly, for God so loved what? The world, that whoever believes in him. So it was Christianity. God had always wanted the world to love him and to come to him. And that certainly is clear in the Old Testament, as we see a quote in Amos.
Well, that's it. Verse 15, and with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. So not just what Simeon has said is true, but the prophets agree with this, too.
That's it. Yeah, Amos was a prophet that James quotes, you know, and James probably knew Amos, the words of Amos, quite well, and he uses this scripture to confirm that it's not just about what Paul and Barnabas say, it's not just about what Peter says, it's about what the Word says, about what all the prophets have always said this, that the promise is that God is going to rebuild the temple or the tent of David, and that is Jesus. Who said that destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up? And so here we have a prophecy fulfilled that Jesus, so to speak, the temple of God, is that person for all people. And Gentiles are certainly, and by Gentiles, we're just talking about non-Jews, you know, pagans that enter into the kingdom of heaven. The promise is not just for the Jews, it's for the world.
After this, I will return. I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. A tent. I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen.
Of course, David never saw the finished temple, you know, that Solomon built, but we're talking about the tent of the tabernacle and how God's people met him in that temple, and the promise is that I'm going to rebuild that temple, and it has been rebuilt in the church today. We the church, and we, the people of God, not just the building, but we, the people of God, the church, are that temple. And we have been rebuilt by word and sacrament. And we are the Israel today that reaches out to all people, and not just a certain group of people that are like us, but all people. And I've always appreciated the history of our church body in the way that it's reached out to African Americans in its early stages, and the emphasis on mission. It's just great stuff. And here we have the words of the prophets agreeing with James, you know, and with Peter and with Paul and with Barnabas and the rest of the apostles, that Gentiles like Jews are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. You know, and this is the way it's always been in the prophets. From the very beginning, from that first promise made to Adam and Eve after the fall into sin.
Verse 19, therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. From ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. So we shouldn't trouble the Gentiles who have turned to God with all these codes, these customs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love the way that they handle this. This is in no way a compromise. What I think what James is really saying here is that there's the law of love. And, you know, we want Gentiles to be part of our community, but, you know, we're dealing with people that don't like change. And you know, when you are with a Gentile, let the law of love rule there so that you don't offend them and bring a bad name to the church. You know, it's kind of like if I invite people over, then I know within that group of people there's alcoholics or whatever. You know, the law of love tells me, you know, maybe I should abstain from this.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I, by my behavior, bring offense to someone else, you know, I need to be a little bit careful and exercise the law of love. And so I think that's what's being said here, is that James is saying, you know, Gentiles, you know, they come from a background far different than the Jew. You know, the Gentiles were pagans, you know, Greeks and so forth by nature. And the way the temples of the pagans were more than just some kind of religious institution where they worshiped their gods, but it was political center. The temple was the political center, conversations taking place, food taking place, lots of stuff taking place, not just religion, but all kinds of other conversations and so forth. They knew that it was going to be, it's not easy for a pagan to give all these things up. Idolatry, you know, I mean, like the eating of meat that had been sacrificed, the question was, you know, they get invited still to the temple because, you know, not everybody in a family, a pagan family, would probably be believers. And so, you know, a cousin invites them, well, why don't you join us for dinner over at the temple? We're having a supper and you can, you know, you don't have to worship anything. Just eat the food and enjoy us and join us, you know, so it was not as easy as just, you know, all of a sudden giving up all your practice in paganism. It was the Jews probably wanted to make sure that they are careful about how they live their life now as free in the gospel. So this was not by any means a compromise of anything or going against what was just said. It was just a way of showing love for Gentile believers to show their love for their brother Jews.
Any other thoughts today on the text as we wrap up our study?
Just to say how wonderful it is to see the church in action here as they face their first major debate. And the way it went and the smoothness of it and how they all got together and worked together and the church came together and accomplished something. You know, they all left this giant voters meeting saying, all right, now we know what we're doing and we know about the Gentiles and how they should be treated and what they need to know about the gospel and how we should treat other people that are not like us and with the law of love. It's such an encouragement to me to see the church at work.
Very good. Well, thanks so much, Pastor, for taking some time to study with us. We've been studying with the Reverend Toby Jekyll, or I'm sorry, Jokel, Pastor.
I always tell people Joke and then add an L.
Pastor Jokel from First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've been in Acts chapter 15 this morning. Pastor Jokel, thanks for being our guest this morning, helping us study God's Word.
Oh, I really enjoyed it, and I just wanted to let people know, too, that I'm leading a tour to Israel and next May. If things are smooth over there, it'll be my fourth time over there, and they can connect me to the KFUO webpage if they're interested in going to Israel.
Wonderful. First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can, if you want to send us a message here, we'll get you in touch with Pastor Jokel, or you can look for First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and get in touch with Pastor Jokel that way as well. Pastor, thanks for being our guest. We've got Creation Club coming up in just a little bit.
All right. Well, have a great day, and thank you for the invitation.
Thanks. Coming up a little bit, we've got Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Stick around for that, listeners, as we start your day with the Word of God and prayer here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.